We deprived you of your precious grade the trade yesterday. So the red pens are out, and we're grading them today. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday, June 5th. This is Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. Make sure you watch the video show today. We're doing player debates. We're doing name that player. We're having some fun. So that's coming up noon Eastern time. FantasyNews.CBSSports.com. Email us fantasybaseball@CBSI.com and put podcast or baseball podcast or grade the trade in the subject line. And how many games are there tonight? Did you know?
I don't know because I know there's a bunch of day games. So
how many games are there today?
Oh, today
all day.
11.
All right. I was hoping for a little less. I'd like to change it up a little bit tomorrow.
Monday was the light day.
Yeah,
this
you missed your opportunity.
Well, Tuesday we did the players who frustrate us. What do you think we should do tomorrow?
I mean,
should we start reflecting on strategies that have paid off and those that haven't so far?
That sounds wacky.
Why?
I'm kidding.
Oh yeah.
Sounds very nerdalicious.
I like it. I'm thinking we should do that tomorrow. How do you guys feel about that? And second question, should I have asked you off the air?
Maybe. Maybe that would have been.
I'm proposing that as
All right.
Subject for tomorrow.
All right,
maybe
go ahead.
Sneak some emails in
there.
That's
one way to make sure you get your way, Adam.
Yeah, and I'd like to. Yeah.
You know what strategy didn't work out for me?
What?
Drafting Nick Swisher in the ninth round.
Well, I could have told you that.
You did tell me that
in
like within 5 seconds after doing it.
Okay, today we're talking about players that you might not be able to trust anymore. Trevor Rosenthal blew another save. We'll look at him. Lineups, like changes in lineups, not fantasy lineups, but actual lineups that could have fantasy impact. Cargo is on the DL. Some more call-ups, including a Tigers shortstop. Potential news on Gregory Polanco and more. Stat of the day number one is, I don't know if it's fantasy relevant at all, it's just interesting. The Rays are 0 for their last 31 with runners in scoring position. And they have lost 9 in a row. So let's move on from that. I just wanted to say that. Stat of the day number two. Got this one on the Reds broadcast. Ryan Vogelsong tried to pick off Billy Hamilton, or just keep him close. Threw it away. Hamilton gets the second. Opponents have committed 5 errors trying to pick off Billy Hamilton this year.
Ah, creates mayhem.
He does, and I don't know why he hasn't been better in fantasy, particularly points leagues. I actually think he's... Steals being 2 points, he's amazing to me. And he's batting around 270 now.
You don't know why he's not better?
Yeah.
I thought he's been pretty good.
He's been pretty good, but it's like 17 fantasy points a week. Roto, I'm sure he's been really good, right? Do you have the Roto
rankings? I was going to say, I'll pull those up. I think he's been very good. I think on the show a couple weeks ago, he's done everything we expected.
We
260 batting average. The steals are right on the pace we projected. It's everybody else being in that speed, that stolen base category that we didn't expect that is dampening Hamilton's value, I think.
Well, he also doesn't walk.
He's missed a few games, too. Like, I don't think he's had a DL stint, but there's been several multi-day injuries that might impact where he shows up in the outfield rankings. But...
Yeah,
when he's healthy, I haven't had cause to sit him, and all I own him in is points leagues because that was the only format where he was affordable coming into the season, and I haven't had any cause to sit him.
Where's he ranked in Roto?
I don't know, but I rank at the very bottom in terms of my speed and looking things up. So we're getting there.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Let's talk about Wednesday's standouts. Anybody that we need to highlight here? Scotty White, what do you think?
Yeah, somebody who may not have cracked your notes here, Martin Prado was one of several Diamondbacks to get 3-plus hits.
That's Colorado. Gotta love it.
Last 23 games, .341 batting average, only 9 strikeouts.
Ooh.
And then an .894 OPS, hit his first 2 home runs of the season recently. So, it's... back on track, I feel like. Kind of like last year. Slow start, coming out of it in a dramatic way. I think he's back to being a must-start at any of the 3 positions he's eligible.
It's just great because I just dropped him on my rankings yesterday.
So oh, come on, go. Al.
But a lot of that had to do with me elevating guys, too.
Like who?
Dozier was one that I bumped up a lot. I'm late to that party. But
Well, you're always welcome.
Thank you.
There's always room on the Dozier bandwagon.
Yeah, I have to go and look. I think I might have put Aaron Hill up a couple of spots. I think I dropped Kinsler too. So there's just a lot of, like, between 5 and 12, I did a lot of juggling there.
Let's get to the mystery behind Al thinking Ian Kinsler is not nearly as good as what he's shown. Al, tell us why you don't really like Ian Kinsler.
Yeah.
Why you traded him away in Tout Wars, right?
Yes.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, and ask me this the morning after he hits a home run, and I'm going to tell you that I'm not buying into him having a power rebound.
Well, it's only his fifth home run.
Yeah,
right?
So no, not a lot of power there. He's really relying a lot on batting average and runs scored. And, of course, the runs make a lot of sense in the Tigers' lineup, but the batting average is helping it. And I'm really skeptical that he's going to be able to sustain that. You notice the walks are way down, so he's kind of feasting on a more impatient approach. And I think that if pitchers catch on to that and make them, you know, chase bad pitches more frequently.
But he didn't hit for a high average last year and was still an elite second baseman in fantasy.
Right, but so remember what, when we thought he was going to be, because we both had him on the bust list, right?
Right.
And
but I'm not expecting him to be worse than he was last year now, since he's been way better so far.
See, that's my point, because the power hasn't rebounded. The steals are not, you know, tremendous. And he's living on batting average and runs scored. That's what's giving him equal value. And I think those and the batting average in particular, I do think they'll fall.
But my point is, even if they do, how does that make him worse than he was last year when he was still very good?
I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
I don't. All
well,
I know is
less
that
power? How many?
No, because he didn't have a lot of power last year.
Part of the reason I had him as a bust is because he was trending downward in the power and the speed. So, yeah, it was a down year for him, but it was still like, okay, he's still one of the best second basemen in fantasy.
Well, second base is better this year, isn't it?
It is.
So maybe that might be Al's.
Well, yeah, because I'm comparing. I mean, the comparison that I've been focused on is where I think he'll be compared to where he is now, not so much as compared to last year, but Scott asked a very good question. So I'm going to look and well, yeah, the walks are way down. So he's not just going to lose batting average. He'll lose OBP and more runs.
Isn't there some thought, though, that when he's not getting as many hits, he'll be taking more walks? It seems to happen to a lot of players.
But because the pattern for him is getting hits out on pitches that are not strikes,
mm-hmm.
that I'm very skeptical that the walks are going to rebound. Let me just take a look at that chase rate for him. Yeah,
just getting started with the player debates today.
Yeah, we could put that one. I had another second base player debate that I proposed, but yeah. So the chase rate on pitches outside the strike zone is up from 23% to 30% this year.
Okay.
So that is the crux of my concern with Ian Kinsler.
And what was the trade you made for Kinsler involving Kinsler?
Traded him and Chris Young, the pitcher, for John Lackey, the pitcher, and Johnny Peralta, the quote unquote shortstop.
In your 15-team Tout Wars.
Yes.
Okay. Trevor Rosenthal came in with two runners on, and he walked a batter, he got a ground out, and then he gave up a single, he blew a save. Are you guys worried now? It's two bad outings in a row.
Not that worried. Very, very annoyed because he blew a win for Wainwright.
Well, Wainwright contributed to that by putting two on in the ninth and then getting lifted. So don't just blame Trevor Rosenthal, Al. That's what I'm trying to say.
Didn't do his job.
He didn't give up a run of his own. It wasn't that bad of an outing. I never liked to see him walk a batter, since that's what he had so many issues with earlier. But otherwise, I can't really get too upset at him for this.
Ryan Vogelsong was ticking me off in the first three innings or so of that game, but he really finished strong at the Reds. 6 1/3, 7 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts, got a win. Kind of lucky.
Finish the sentence. He was Vogel blank.
Strong. Oh, yeah. He was Vogel strong. And we have a new nickname for Al coming up in the Grade the Trade segment. Last 8 starts, Vogelsong has a 2.05 ERA. Do you think he's under-owned? Oh, and he's striking out a lot of guys, too. Do you think he's underowned at 66%?
I was probably the higher of the two of us on him going into this start, but I'm even higher on him now.
Woo!
Because the 9 strikeouts really opened my eyes to what he's been doing in terms of strikeouts during this stretch where he's been so much better. Last 8 starts, 2.05 ERA, also 8.4 strikeouts per 9. And I kind of had him pegged as like a non-strikeout guy.
That was a career high yesterday.
Right. But even those okay, obviously last year was terrible for a lot of different reasons. The previous 2 years when he kind of entered the fantasy scene, 7.0 strikeouts per 9, 7.5 strikeouts per 9, which doesn't make him a strikeout pitcher, but it makes him a relevant contributor in the category. It's not like he's a bad
right.
strikeout pitcher.
It's not like he's
Mark Burley or,
Vargas.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So for him to pitch this well with those 2 seasons in the recent past and being a better strikeout pitcher than those guys, I do think he's pretty close to being must own.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what Herc and I were talking about. 66% on, would you rather have Vogelsong or Jaime Garcia?
Let's let Al answer, because yeah. he's higher on Garcia.
I am. I'll stay with Garcia for now, but it's one I have to think about instead of just an instant answer, which it would have been.
And you?
Vogelsong.
Yeah. Vogelsong or Pomeranz?
I'll go Vogelsong.
That's where you find my favorite pitcher. I think I'm sticking with Pomeranz.
John Dank, 16% owned, last 3 starts, 22 1/3.
Good
13
call,
hits.
Scott White.
Yeah, you said start him, right?
No.
Oh,
my call in the – we do a daily segment on Fantasy Baseball Today where we pick a player to start or sit for that day alone. I pointed out that Danks has been pitching well and is a left-hander, and I said sit D. Gordon because of that. The Dodgers had 2 hits yesterday. Both by D. Gordon.
Yep. That I didn't know.
Yep. A double, a single, and a steal. Well, Danks, anyway, is 16% owned, and he's had 3 good starts in a row. Does anybody care about John Danks?
No, still not yet. It's encouraging, but he's. I think he's got a ways to go.
Okay, let's.
You know what I do care about?
What's that?
Billy Hamilton's Roto ranking.
Top 25?
Nope.
What do you got?
Top 26.
Oh, how about that?
He's 26.
I still think there's room for improvement, especially when the lineup gets better.
I agree.
He could score even more runs. I kind of see him as a guy like in a point, like you have him in one of our points leagues, Scott, and I kind of want to trade for him.
Make me an offer.
I might.
I'm not opposed to moving him.
Okay.
He's been thrown out 7 times.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's just one area where he could potentially improve because you know he's fast enough
definitely
not to get thrown out.
That's probably the only thing that's truly a disappointment for me. I thought he would have like at least an 85% success rate.
Okay, Carlos Gonzalez on the DL with inflammation in his left index finger. Yesterday, Corey Dickerson batted 2nd and was in left field against the righty. He went 2-for-5 with a run. He struck out twice, and Dickerson is owned in 35% of leagues. How would you rank these 3 guys right now? Oswaldo Arcia, Josh Willingham, both of them had good games yesterday. Arcia homered and drove in 4, and Willingham single doubled and drove in a run. And
walked
Corey Dickerson.
Times, I think.
I'm not sure. Arcia, Willingham, Dickerson.
Willingham, Arcia, Dickerson.
I'm going to put Arcia first. Arcia, Willingham, Dickerson. And that's the rest of season. That's not necessarily per game. I think per game I actually do like Dickerson best.
Do you guys feel like any of those 3 are must-owns, could go the way of Lonnie Chisenhall, at least in the short term, where like 1 week he's 40% owned, next week he's 75% owned, you missed your chance to pick him up?
How owned are they now? I guess
48% to 35%.
Yeah, I think Willingham. Well, I think any of them could go that route, like you're saying. I don't know that any of them are must own yet, but I think Willingham comes the closest because he was elite just 2 years ago. And in head-to-head leagues especially, his per-game production, if he keeps this up, is really going to stand out because he does draw so many walks. So you might be looking at a short window for him especially.
It's funny because I was going to say Willingham the least because I just have the sense from past years, it seems like he is perennially underrated. if I'm misperceiving that.
I may have been one who was underrating him, so I get what you're saying, except 2 years ago he was just a monster.
What are you saying?
I'm saying Willingham every year seems to be underrated. Mm.
So he's saying he's going to slip through the cracks again.
I think
so. Oh, I gotcha, okay. Well, keep those guys on your radar if you need outfield help. Mike Trout was out again with back stiffness, but no major injury. He hopes to play today. There are conflicting reports about when Gregory Polanco will be up, possibly Friday, but if not Friday, it looks like it'll be pretty soon for Polanco. Detroit declared shortstop Jose Iglesias out for the year. They DFA'd Danny Wirth, and they called up Eugenio Suarez. What should we know about Eugenio Suarez?
Well, he was promoted from AA just over 2 weeks ago, probably not coincidentally the same day that the Red Sox re-signed Stephen Drew. So that I actually went out and picked him up in a couple of leagues at that point because there were writers who were speculating that that was not coincidence, that that was a sign that Tigers had, were waiting on Drew, and now they're looking to Suarez to be their solution, possibly rest of season at shortstop. And he's had sort of a breakout year this year with more power, and he's got a little bit of speed.
Are you sure it's Eugenio?
No.
Yeah, Mr. Pronunciation Man?
I have no idea.
Because, it was Eugenio Velez, right?
Yeah. Oh, Eugenio. That probably makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go Eugenio then. You don't have to worry about Justin Bauer. The Miami Marlins called him up. It looks like he's going to be a bench hitter. And DH and AL Parks, according to the Sun Sentinel. And Derek Dietrich was sent down, Al.
Yep, it's more Marlins logic.
They want him to play every day.
Dietrich?
Yeah, and work on his defense.
Right, well, okay. All right, well, that kind of does poke a little hole in the rant I was about to have, because I thought, okay, if they're worried, because there was a story a few days back, they want Dietrich to have some time off and clear his head and kind of get over the defensive miscues. So, with an opportunity to DH, they could have let Dietrich DH for a couple of games.
Yeah.
Because there's
point.
Nothing wrong with the bat. And did you see the Jim Johnson story yesterday?
No.
The A's agreed to trade Jim Johnson to the Marlins for that same draft pick that they used to get Brian Morris with. There was another player involved that would have headed to Oakland.
Uh-huh.
So, without knowing who that was, maybe it's not as ridiculous as it seems, but just the idea that the Marlins could have had Jim Johnson for that draft pick.
Mm. Yeah, it's
and
a lot better
Brian
than
Morris.
Brian Morris.
What draft pick was this?
The
39th. The competitive balance pick, I think, is what it's called. It's like a sandwich pick.
When did that draft happen?
No.
No, that draft.
The trade? The draft is today.
The draft is right. Oh, yeah. It's part of the amateur draft.
Yeah, they traded their 39th pick for Brian Morris.
Oh.
Yeah. A couple, few days
ago. Yeah, because those picks you can trade. It's...
Right.
This is a whole new thing, competitive balance. That started last year, was that?
But the way the Marlins use that.
Yes, last year or the year before. I think last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they traded. Okay.
Now,
the way the Marlins use that pick, they should call it competitive imbalance.
Yes, Al. Somebody in the office was saying there was like a Fangraphs article or something. I'm not sure if you saw it, about the value of that pick.
I did not see
it. And it's exactly the same as Kevin Gregg, what they're going to be paying Kevin Gregg.
Oh,
or
no, I
like
did
that.
See that, yes.
So they basically traded that pick so they could sign Kevin Gregg, maybe? It was something crazy. They're stupid. I guess I should know exactly what I'm talking about before I go on the air and say it. So, correction, I am stupid. I apologize. Edwin Encarnacion left yesterday's game with back tightness. Jed Jerko could be headed to the DL with plantar fasciitis. Maybe that's why he's been so bad. Jace Peterson replaced him at second base. Coco Crisp was out day-to-day. That's got that lingering neck issue. Miguel Gonzalez will not make his start today due to soreness in his side. Chris Tillman will replace him. And Bud Norris left last night's start after being hit by a pitch on the arm. Should we pick up Kevin Gossman?
I think you should, because I can double-check it. I think he was pulled early from his most recent start.
I saw he got picked up in one of our leagues, so maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, there seems to be a signal that he's on the way.
Mm. Jeremy Hellickson will make a rehab start this weekend and hopes to be back before the All-Star break. Scott, do you care? You don't.
I care. Probably not in the standard mix league.
Carlos Beltran will be back today, not Friday, supposedly. That changes every day. Danny Salazar is on the AAA DL with a triceps injury. Not a big deal. Expected to miss one or two starts. Matt Latos was taken out of his rehab start with a calf cramp, so he didn't throw all that many pitches. I think it was around 67. Might need another rehab start now instead of coming back. Jordan Lyles broke his hand and will be out a while. And as mentioned, the MLB draft is today. So today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Check CBSSports.com for all the latest.
And a couple different sources here saying that Gosman may start on Saturday for the Orioles.
Whoa. He's been really pretty disappointing in the majors, but I know you guys aren't giving up on him.
No.
No,
he may still have some work to do. He doesn't pitch very deep into games in the minors, which might be by design. But remember how that start against Detroit went. Four innings, great. Fifth inning, five runs.
Right.
And you look at his pitch FX data. He just doesn't throw many pitches.
Right.
He's very fastball heavy. Like. Yeah, except his fastball's not as good as Cingrani's.
Really?
Well, I mean, he hasn't been as successful as Cingrani was last year when he was almost exclusively a fastball pitcher. Now he's not, and I think that's actually part of the problem for Cingrani because he's mixing in all these other pitches that aren't very good. But Gosman, obviously a lot of upside, but I'm just not sure he's ready to be a full-time big league starter yet. That's my take.
All right, next category. Come on and line up. Talking about lineup stuff. Mentioned Dickerson. Mentioned D. Gordon that he batted against a lefty and had a good game. Andre Ethier sat for Scott Van Slyke against the lefty, and that's not unusual. Matt Kemp stayed in the lineup. Carlos Gomez hit cleanup, but Ron Renicki said his ideal lineup has Gomez leading off. Aramis Ramirez was back. He's 80% owned, Aramis Ramirez. Could be a guy to look for if you need third base help in shallower leagues. Batted fifth and homered and drove in three. Colton Wong sat against a lefty. Alfonso Soriano appears to be sitting against righties now. It was a little unclear because they didn't have a DH for a while, but Ichiro started in his place and McCann DH'd. CJ Crone DH'd, and he drove in a run yesterday on two hits at Houston. Meanwhile, Raul Abanez still plays. He's batting 140. Trout was out yesterday.
We're laughing because of the part you didn't read.
For some reason, Raul Abanez still plays. John Singleton batted fifth and went 0-for-4 with two strikeouts against Garrett Richards, who had a great game. Didi Gregorius led off for Arizona. He went 3-for-6 with a home run at the Rockies. All right, Josh Harrison played second base, and he led off, and he doubled twice, and he tripled, and he's 16% owned. Starling Marte sat again with Jose Tabata and Travis Snyder in the outfield, along with Andrew McCutchen. And Josh Harrison's hitting 317, slugging 520. He did make an error yesterday at second base. I didn't see it, but, you know.
But it still happened.
It did happen. I didn't see
it. It's not like a tree falling
like
in the forest.
Bad one. And Tommy Medica played first base against a lefty, went 0-for-3 with a walk and a run. Weird game for the Padres. They had one hit. They did not. That was a bunt single. They did not have a ball leave the infield, I think, until the eighth inning when they flew out to center, and they won. And Ben Revere batted eighth last night. Jimmy Rollins led off. I gave you a lot of stuff there. Cherry pick and tell me what stands out and what fantasy owners need to know.
All right. Well, the Josh Harrison thing, I like him better than Brock Holt, just, you know, as a player. But I feel like they're in similar situations. You know, just when Polanco is going to come up probably very soon, as we talked about. I think this Marte thing is very temporary. And so he's taking advantage of it, but I just don't really see where there's a long-term fit for Harrison.
I do want to see if they could continue to play him at third against lefties and whether or not that could impact Alvarez.
Yeah.
Scott, what stands out to you?
Well, one that actually caught my attention when I was going through box scores this morning was Colton Wong sitting against the left-hander and went back and looked. Since he got called up, all five left-handers, I believe, the Cardinals have faced since then, Ellis has started, and Wong has not, which I didn't really notice was going on before then, but it certainly changes my perspective on Wong. I believe we had a question recently, I forget where, Wong or Infante?
No, I know what that was. That was my co-owner, Jamie Eisenberg, asking you because we had to make that decision yesterday in our points league.
Was that it?
1 point per steal.
I said Infante. I said Wong.
I preferred Infante. Jamie was insistent on Wong, and I'm tired of overriding him, so I just let him do it. So
let him do it.
We made the ad drop.
Been giving you grief about Chase Headley
every day,
all year.
This is actually a Chase Headley replacement. We'll move Prado to third, and you know,
it's nice that you have Prado.
Yeah, we just traded for him.
Yeah.
Because I knew what was coming.
You knew it.
I mean, I figured.
Can't get it past Adam Azer.
So, well, you know, that one made sense. That
no, was, totally. I remember
advising. I'm not saying it was my theory.
I remember advising Jamie on that deal, too. And I said, whoa.
Yeah.
Take the deal, sir.
Anything else, guys? Anything else?
Okay. Yeah,
Ben Revere batting eighth was weird. Now, he had a few games where he batted lower in the order, seventh, eighth, maybe even ninth one game. I can't remember. And then he went back to leading off for, I don't know, 10-ish games in a row.
Yeah, it is weird. I don't get it. But
he's not hitting poorly right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Al.
Yeah, no, that's really all I have to say about it. I wasn't really going to comment because it seems that this is something that that the Phillies do periodically for no apparent reason.
I think you might have to drop Soriano in your rankings. What do you think? He's like a top 25 outfielder, close to it.
Yeah. Well, if he doesn't play much against righties, then obviously I do. If it's just a performance thing, I won't.
Because you think he'll get hot.
Because I think he'll get hot. And I think it's funny because we had an update on him, I think it was yesterday, where he was quoted as saying, I've never struggled like this in my career before. And I'm thinking, dude, pay attention to your career. I think you have.
This is pretty bad. And Beltran's coming back today, so it's just another mouth to feed for the Yankees. All right, studs being studs yesterday. We'll do grade the trade in a bit. Anthony Rendon has homered in three of his last four games. Adrian Beltre homered twice against Baltimore, and he's batting over 300 now. And Yoenis Cespedes went 3-for-5 with two home runs at the Yankees. One of the home runs was a pure Yankee Stadium home run and would not have gone out of any other ballpark, and that was obvious at the time and then confirmed by ESPN on the broadcast. So anything to say about these three guys? And Cespedes has 12 home runs now.
Yeah, so you know, I don't worry about that one cheapie. I mean, he's hitting with a lot of power this year. And the batting average has been on the rise of late. And given that he has been striking out a lot less this year compared to last year, I think that that's a trend that will continue. Although, you know, we've got to keep an eye on the shoulder for him.
Yeah, he is dealing with a little shoulder soreness.
Anthony Rendon's been doing a little seesaw act in my rankings this year. And I'm to the point now between last year, when remember he got off to a ridiculous start also before falling off late. And then this year where he was off to a great start, lengthy slump, and now seems to be coming out of it again, three of the last four games home run. He might be another one of those players that gets the streaky classification, which means don't panic when he has a slump. There's probably another one coming at some point, but he's what little he's been up in the majors so far, developing into a pattern. Really good for weeks at a time, really bad for weeks at a time, and back and forth interminably.
Okay. 270, 8 home runs, 32 RBI for Anthony Rendon. Next category. You can't trust this. Boom, doom, doom, doom. All right, I got a bunch of pitchers here. Tell me if you trust them. Al, might have to fight with you on the first one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Put up your dukes.
R.A. Dickey, not a good outing, even though he only gave up two runs in five-plus innings. Seven hits, four walks, four strikeouts, and two home runs allowed. So that means how many home runs? Five home runs in his last four starts. And the walks are up in this one. And he left with the bases loaded and nobody out. And Aaron Loop got out of the jam. So this line could have been a lot worse. I can't trust this. I feel like Scott can't trust.
I can't
R.A. Dickey.
Trust it. No.
Al Melchior, you still can?
I'm still trusting. But yeah, this is annoying because I noticed that he'd been on a run right before he made two pretty bad starts in a row.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let two starts make me distrust him.
I'm going to let last season and the beginning of this season and these last two starts, and basically everything except for that run.
Yeah.
Of what was like last six starts before these last two?
I think it was seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
We're good.
Very good.
But I don't even know that.
Problems.
I don't even know that I would pick him up if he were available in our 12-team leagues.
No, I don't think I would. I have him. I might have him outside the top 80 in my starting pitcher rankings now. I'm not see. I'm with you. There's been it's been too bad for too long, with, you know, just a little bit of good sprinkled in to maybe keep your hopes up, but I'm not right. I'm not willing to have my hopes kept up anymore.
And I just, yeah, I guess I'm being more of a glass half full guy with Dickey, because I think last season was more than a little good sprinkled in. I think it was a very good second half.
Pretty good, yeah.
That followed a, you know, miserable first half, and I feel like that's caught our attention more.
Okay.
That first half.
Tony Cingrani was cruising through five innings. Then he gave up two home runs in the sixth and took the loss. 5 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. He's 81% owned. Can you trust this?
Him?
Yeah.
Can I trust him? No.
Can you trust Tony Cingrani?
I'm on the verge of dropping Cingrani in a few leagues, which is painful to do because he was one of my favorite breakout candidates coming into the season. And I still think he could be really good. I mean, his first start of the year was everything we wanted
right.
it to be. I believe that was also the start in which he threw the highest percentage of fastballs. Came very close to last year's rate. So mixing in this breaking ball that he has, that he quote unquote made huge strides with this offseason, and mixing in a changeup more, really not sure it's working from him. I kind of want to tweet him and say, throw more fastballs.
Well, it looks like, you know, at least the AP recap and from what I feel like just from watching this year versus last year, velocity's been inconsistent on the fastball. I don't know that his fastball is quite as good. And he's still throwing it almost 80% of the time.
He is throwing it.
He's still throwing his fastball
a lot more than the average pitcher.
Yeah.
But
I don't know what the problem is for Cingrani. Maybe his secondary stuff just isn't good enough.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
Right.
So,
or yeah.
So stop throwing it so much. I mean, throw it. You have to have something to keep hitters honest. But I don't know. He has such a deceptive delivery that I think he can get by with almost exclusively fastballs.
Can you trust Tony Cingrani?
No. I wouldn't drop him at this point, but I would certainly not start him either.
Francisco Liriano, weird start. 5 innings, 1 hit, 3 runs, 2 earned, 6 walks, and 7 strikeouts.
This is like the cartoon version of Francisco Liriano.
It was really bad. He walked Ian Kennedy to load the bases, I think. Yeah, it's like a time where you have to throw a strike, and he just couldn't do it.
He's at 4.7 walks per 9 now, and a couple times he had 5.0 per 9. But otherwise, that's his worst rate ever. And what's especially discouraging to me is just a couple starts ago, Ray Searidge said, you know, we think we figured out what's going on. He's not getting enough glove ball separation on his delivery, which I thought was a funny description. But, yeah, it hasn't worked, whatever they found, or he's not applying it like he needs to.
Well, okay, 78% owned, and last week we were talking about he got dropped in our league. Would we pick him up? You know, I tried. It didn't work. I think we all might have tried for Liriano at different points, and we didn't get him. You still feel the same way? Still feel like he should be owned? Like, is he better than Cingrani in that regard?
I trust him more than Cingrani because at least he's getting the strikeouts. I mean, this line really is just like the caricature version of him. Yeah. He only gave up 1 hit.
It wasn't even a bad start.
He got 7 strikeouts in 5 innings. You know, but how many walks could you put up with? Mm-hmm. That's the question. And I'm getting to the point now where I'm not really going to want to tolerate it anymore.
Okay. AJ Burnett. I know Al has been done with AJ Burnett. Scott, you feel the same way?
Yeah. If I was ranking these pitchers, he would be dead last.
I just want to say that I had almost forgotten how good his numbers were last year. He was a stud. 10-11, that's not great. But 3.30 ERA, 67 walks, and 209 strikeouts in 191 innings pitched. Like, that's ridiculously good.
He was very good in both of those seasons with the Pirates.
Yeah.
And that's when we got a little bit of a rebound after the sports hernia thing was diagnosed for him. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, you know, maybe he's still got it, but
yeah,
he's not.
He's lost it.
Okay.
A lot of walks for him, too.
Oh, yeah, 37 walks.
Yeah.
He's more walks than Liriano in more innings, but probably a worse walk rate, I would think. 37 and 73.
That's
yeah.
That's probably similar.
Yeah,
that's,
it's right,
that's a little
right,
more.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there. Grade the Trade, Part 1. Here we go. Aaron from Lexington, Kentucky. Oh, and if you want a teaser for what's next, Eric Ibar has been really good. Asdrubal Cabrera has been really good. Nick Markakis. We'll talk about Beckett, Jesse Chavez, and Belisario, and a little bit more. So let's grade some trades. 10-team head-to-head points league from Aaron in Kentucky. Give up Jose Abreu. Get Julio Teheran.
That is a C. I just think it's perfectly even.
Perfectly even?
Perfectly.
I'm going to give it like a 73, like kind of a high
C-.
Can't even
go all the way to a C-.
Yeah. Yeah, because I do think I'd prefer Abreu, but it is close to it is close
2 points
to even.
Off for spelling or grammar.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Forgot to put your name at the top there.
we should crank on these because we had a lot of practice on the show yesterday with evaluating trades.
We did.
Yeah.
Mike Barnes from Charleston, South Carolina. Points League. Give up Garrett Richards and Aramis Ramirez. Get Yasiel Puig.
Ooh.
I'll give that a B plus.
I'm going A minus.
Okay.
Welcome to the top of the class.
I think Garrett Richards.
That was
do you think he'll be the number one relief pitcher in points leagues?
I still think it'll be Tyson Ross, but it'll be quite a contest.
You think like up above Kimbrel, above K-Rod?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Sparps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, will he be the number one reliever?
No. And I agree he won't be the number one Sparp either. He'll be number two. I'm pretty
behind Ross.
Confident saying maybe that sounds weird, too. He'll be number... he'll be just behind Ross among okay. Sparps.
Yeah, no, Scott. He'll actually be good. He won't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But a little Garrett Richards stat from that start last night. 80 strikes, 27 yeah. balls.
Yeah,
which
crazy.
Is a big turnaround for him.
Mark says, head-to-head categories league, I give up C, Gordon. I guess maybe a bit autocorrect. I give up D, Gordon. And I get Anthony Rendon.
I hate autocorrect.
That's pretty funny, though.
Sometimes
C, Gordon, yeah, S-E-E.
Yeah, just...
I'll give that a B minus.
Giving up Gordon to get Rendon. You'd rather have Rendon?
Yeah, I would.
In a categories league, I think I'd rather have Gordon.
This strikes me as a very need-dependent trade.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, except Rendon, how many home runs is he going to hit? Maybe 20? Maybe?
That's
19 or 18 or 19
say,
more than Gordon, right?
Well, yeah. Sure, but Gordon's going to deliver 70-plus steals, probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's only one category.
I know. I give it a C-, because it's categories.
By the way, isn't it a shame that the nickname Flash Gordon is already taken among baseball circles?
Because that
should be D. Gordon's nickname.
Maybe he could be Flash Jr.
They're not related, though, are they?
Tom Gordon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that his dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew that. We talked about that yesterday, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Oh, so then just give it to him.
Give it
I
to
mean,
him.
I mean, it's just passing it down
they
by
gave,
generation.
They handed out LT again in football.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't ridiculous. Like it either.
There's only one LT. Man. All right, from Paul. I was offered this trade in my 10-team mixed points league. I give McCutchen, Samardzija, and Cingrani. I get Ellsbury, Lester, and Bailey.
C-. Plus. Yeah, I'll take the minor, and I do think it's a minor outfield downgrade for a big upgrade. In the Reds pitcher.
Yeah, the Reds pitcher is where
yeah.
is where from Cingrani to Bailey, that's where that side
you think that's
wins,
a minor down,
yeah, that's,
downgrade
that's,
in the
that's kind of why I took it. I mean, McCutchen is, no questions asked, elite. Ellsbury, on the border of being elite, I feel like. So
we both have him in our top tens. I dropped him from 5th to 7th.
He homered yesterday.
And he homered yesterday.
Vinny in Atlanta, I give Iwakuma, I get Joey Votto. I have Eric Hosmer. Eric, not a Hosmer. Hey, at least I tried. All right, he wants to upgrade from Hosmer to Votto. He's giving up Iwakuma to get Votto.
Regardless of the Hosmer angle, which I mean, I don't want to advise anybody to give up on him. I give it a B
minus.
From Morgan, I just traded away Corey Kluber for Matt Holliday.
Kluber for Holliday. That's good.
It is good. Give that one a B minus too.
Let me look at this last trade to compare, which is better. Iwakuma for Vano. Okay. Kluber for Holliday. You know, I like this trade better, so if I gave that one a B, I'm giving this B plus.
There we go. 10-team head-to-head league. I've been offered Shelby Miller straight up for Garrett Richards. This is from the other Scott.
I'm going to give that a D plus.
Yeah,
really?
I can't make that trade. Well, you'd rather have Garrett Richards.
I was looking at this one backwards. It was inevitable.
Right.
Yeah, that's a bad trade, other Scott.
I could see somebody going the other way on that because Miller may have more upside still than Richards, but he's just been pretty bad.
Hey, a couple observations on Miller. They haven't been very good starts overall, so it's easy to slip through
the
cracks.
Please give me optimism, Scott.
Walks have been way down. Innings have been up. Throwing his curveball a lot more. Close to where he was the first one-third of last season when he was awesome. So might be on the right track there.
And Scott, other Scott, says, buy or sell, Al's nickname should be the Punisher. I don't mind it.
Yeah,
like it.
Like, yeah.
Big pun
big
inspired.
Pun.
Yeah, big pun.
Punisher. From Austin in Chicago, dear Rin, Tin, and Tin. Grade the trade. Head-to-head categories league. I give up Mike Trout. I get Giancarlo Stanton.
Ooh.
That's less than a C.
It's less than a C. I'm saying
that's a D.
I'm saying D, yeah, even though, I mean, Stanton's an elite player in his own right. Trout is still super elite in my mind.
I'll give him a plus, D plus.
Brent Atima. I just got offered Ian Desmond for Sonny Gray. Hardy is my shortstop.
Does anyone else think of the Sesame Street song when they say Sonny Gray?
Every time.
Yeah. Okay. Glad I'm not the only one.
Would you give up Sonny Gray to get Ian Desmond?
I would, but I'm not as down on Desmond as
Mr. Al.
The Punisher.
I'm just going to give this one an even C because I really can't tell which side I like better.
Jared Henry says, Gray the trade. I get J.J. Hardy for Singrani in a 12-team Roto League. I have Latos on the DL.
And
he has Bad Miller. So
hasn't been as bad recently.
Get J.J. Hardy, give Singrani. Roto.
I'll give that a C plus because you're banking that Hardy's gonna rebound better than Singrani, and I do believe that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I could give it that high in a non-Roto, like a head-to-head league, because middle infield you don't go as deep. And Hardy's is very, I think, very
Roto-driven
player. Doesn't walk at all, but hits a lot more home runs than the average shortstop, at least in theory.
We promise.
Yeah.
He will hit more home runs than the average shortstop. Speaking of shortstops, let's go to five up, except I apparently only have four up here. So that's a typo. Let's go to four up. Eric Ibar and Asdrubal Cabrera. Ibar is the number five shortstop in points leagues, number seven in rotisserie or categories leagues. He went 2-for-5 with two doubles. He has 32 RBI. That's crazy.
I noticed he's way up in the rankings. Not our rankings, but what he's actually done.
Yeah. Very low OBP for him, not walking, but is he or Asdrubal Cabrera, who over the last 28 days is a top four shortstop, opening your eyes?
No, neither one is, because Cabrera, the converse of the R.A. Dickey situation is a lot of inconsistency, but it seems like it's much more bad than good for Cabrera, so I'm just not buying it as little hot streaks. And Ibar, I got to look up the batting average on with runners in scoring position.
I was just going to say that. Can you look up the batting average with runners in scoring position? But you know what? I've been wondering about this stat. I feel like just from following this stuff over the last few years, it's not unreasonable for a guy to have like a whole season where he hits really well with runners in scoring position.
Or a whole team like the Cardinals last year.
For 2 years for the Cardinals, I feel.
I mean, it happens, but
you can't bank on it.
You forecast against the anomalies, you know? You don't,
Casey McGee is another guy who right. jumps to mind right now who's just killing it with runners in scoring position.
But that's why people who try to forecast baseball numbers like we do are wrong close to 50% of the time because these things happen.
Right,
but like, you have to take the logical approach to it and assume it's not going to.
Right.
Well, it's a pretty small number of at bats, 58 at bats, 66 plate appearances. The batting average does not stick out at all with men in scoring position, 293. But let me scroll down and find this again. 534 slugging, which is very un-Ibar like.
Wow.
So he's getting all of his power with guys on base. So good for him.
Okay.
Or in scoring position.
Miguel Montero right now is a top five catcher. Number two in points leagues where he walks a lot. Number five in Roto. His slash line right now, 267, 362, 408. So that's good enough to be number five in Roto. Last year, the slash line for the number five catcher was 294 instead of 267, 371 instead of 362, and 450 instead of 408. That's what I mean when I'm saying the catchers have been disappointing. But Montero has actually been one of the encouraging ones. I don't know how I feel about him because he was in a 180 slump before this game, which was at Colorado, over his last 15 games.
Let me tell you how you should feel about him,
yeah,
Adam.
Yeah, please.
Very good.
Okay. I thought we were too low on him going into the year.
Mm-hmm.
I
you were right,
but now I feel like high on him. If you have him in your top 12, which I think you guys do.
I do, and I think it makes perfect sense. Look at the track record. I mean, last year, what he's hitting 260 something overall now. That's not out of character for him. What was out of character was the 230 something he hit last year, and he's walking a ton.
Well, I get what you're saying. It's not really about him. I think it's like the Gomes and the Castros and a lot of the guys that you guys thought would be better than him preseason have struggled, and maybe I just kind of feel like they'll eventually overtake him.
But look at where he ranked in 2012 and 2011. He was end-of-season numbers. He was, I think, a top three catcher one of those years and a top six catcher one of those years. So even if the catcher pool is deeper now than it was then, calling him a top 12 catcher I don't think is at all a stretch.
So you wouldn't sell high on him?
No,
I wouldn't either. And I'm looking at these rankings, and I mean, they're very bunchy around number 12. So
right.
I wouldn't disagree with you that Gomes, Castro, Ramos, those guys could
right,
overtake
Ramos,
him.
Right.
But I'm going to agree with everybody because, you know, like Scott says too, I mean, he's got a largely very good track record. So he just belongs in that mix. Any of them, I think, is a viable number one catcher.
And Nick Markakis, 2-for-3 with a home run yesterday. Only 4 home runs this year and a pretty low slugging percentage. But he's the top 24, number 24 in points, number 34 in Roto right now. Good batting average, 308, career 293 hitter.
I'm surprised he's that high in Roto.
Yeah.
Because I know in head-to-head he's thriving on peripherals, not striking out much, walking a lot.
He's probably scoring a lot of runs. Although, you know what? He's not.
Yeah, no, he's not.
25 runs scored. I could see that going up.
He's the Daniel Murphy of the outfield. Like, how is he doing it?
It sounded like a really dumb comment. Obviously, he's going to score more runs. I could see his, you know, run scoring rate or whatever going up.
We know what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, just finding a guy who's hitting 308 is kind of hard these days.
Yeah.
That probably does have a lot to do with it, yeah.
At least an everyday player. You guys like Markakis? He's 77% owned.
I'll be honest, I hadn't. But given his ranking, it does, you know, at the very least, make me want to look deeper into it and see if there's something there and see if we can – I think we probably can trust the batting average.
Yeah, he's only had like one bad year at batting average, I think, last year. One down, Jimmy Rollins, 0-for-4 yesterday with 4 strikeouts. No extra base hits in 11 games. Any thoughts?
That's annoying, the timing of it, because it basically started right when I said, you know, Jimmy Rollins, we were too quick to write him off. And
basically pulled a Ryan Howard on you?
Yeah, the whole Phillies lineup. Guys I don't like, but then they force me to like them, and then this happens. No, I'm going to stick with what I said before. in that at a weak position, Rollins has shown he's still capable of doing enough that that he still deserves to be in consideration in mixed leagues.
Yeah, do you guys find the like 10th through 15th shortstops? I don't know. Solarte, Everett Cabrera, Asdrubal, Rollins, or who that whole mix to be kind of similar.
Right. I have a hard time ranking that group.
Well, I think I may value some of those guys differently because I don't view the ones you named similarly at all. Cabrera I like a lot better.
Yeah, Everett Cabrera. Yeah, yes. Everett is higher. And for me, Solarte is higher. But I get what you're saying. Just Alcides Escobar is in that group.
Simmons, maybe?
Simmons is in that group for me, yeah. And probably not for Al.
Nope, yeah. And I've got Simmons 8th, Everett Cabrera 10th. I'm looking at points now, so... yeah, I'd say from about number 12 on down, it's very bunchy.
Rotation. All of these guys are owned in 88% of leagues or up to 91% of leagues. All the same. Tell me if you think any of them are overowned. Garrett Richards dominated the Astros. Marco Estrada's been frustrating, and he's only pitched 7 innings once this season. Josh Beckett. Another pretty good start. Not a great start. 6 innings, 9 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, 2 home runs allowed. He's already allowed 10 this year. Ian Kennedy was really good against the Pirates. Jesse Chavez at the Yankees struggled in 1 inning, gave up 4 runs all in 1 inning. Mm. Are any of these guys overowned? Richards, Estrada, Beckett, Kennedy, Chavez. Next page, Rick Porcello. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ah!
There we go.
Well, we'll start there because I think Porcello is very overowned.
We have about 2 minutes left, guys.
I agree. He's one. And the other one, actually, I'm beginning to think Jesse Chavez is overowned.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah, beginning of May, 6 starts, 4.25 ERA, 1.47 whip.
Right.
And right at 7 strikeouts per 9. So, I get the SPARP appeal. Probably still need to own him in head-to-head points leagues, but he's clearly, in my mind, come back down to earth.
Would you drop Porcello or Chavez for Vogelsong, Vargas, Colmenter? None of the above, 2 of the above, all
Vogelsong.
Of the
above. I'd drop both of them for Vogelsong.
I would drop...
Except head-to-head points leagues because the SPARP. Chavez. Yeah.
I could see dropping either for Vogelsong. Porcello, definitely. And I would drop Porcello for Vargas.
In the bullpen, Ronald Belisario got his second save in as many nights. Once again, did not allow a base runner. He's 24% owned. Houston Street, just want to give him some credit. 18 saves, number 1 closer in points, number 2 in Roto behind K-Rod. And Zach Britton got his 5th save, but he has allowed 6 hits and an earned run in his last 4 appearances. Should we be concerned?
No. One earned run in 4 appearances isn't bad at all. And with Britton, I'm mostly concerned about the earned runs with him because he's going to give up some hits, but he's going to also get a lot of double plays.
ERA right now still under 1. And Jared Cozart, Brandon Workman, any interest?
Cozart, yeah. I mean, he's teased us at times before, but he seems like he's developing a little bit more consistency compared to last year.
Yeah, except the walk-to-strikeout thing has been weird. Yesterday, finally, 1 walk, 8 Ks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a rare. Like, before that, it was 25 strikeouts to 24 walks in his previous 8. So, yeah, he's still.
Well, I guess maybe not consistency, but it just seems like there's more starts where he's showing some better control.
Okay.
And we'll do some more Grade the Trade tomorrow when we also talk about strategies that have helped and hurt us so far. On our fantasy, on a little adorable little Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. We'll also help you set your lineup for week 11, which is coming up. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Scott. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you. All right. Yeah. Everybody's friends. See you later.